And as we prepare our hearts to reflect upon that word this morning, let's please once again bow our heads in prayer. Well, once again, Father, we do thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for who he is. We thank you for what he came to accomplish. And as we throughout the season are reflecting upon exactly who he is, what he is like, we pray, Lord, that you would use this time to strengthen the hope that we have in him. So bless us this morning as we once again reflect upon your word, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you all know by now, I hope, this Advent season, we're taking the time to focus on Jesus' identity, to look a little bit more at his person and who he is. As we approach our celebration of his birth, it's very important for us to understand exactly who this is that God sent into the world and what he has done for us. So my hope is that even though, as I mentioned last week, this series might seem a little bit more technical and theological than others, my hope is that it will enhance your Christmas celebration. I hope it'll enhance it as you can better celebrate the coming of this very special child who was born into the world. And of course, we're doing this as we look at Colossians 1, verses 15 to 20, where Paul describes for us several different aspects of Jesus' character, of his identity. And we've learned so far that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. We've learned that in him we perfectly see and understand who God is. We also learn that he is the firstborn of all creation, that he has authority over all things. And today we're going to look at a third aspect of his character that once again we oftentimes fail to grasp. However, before we do so, let's once again look at this passage that we're talking about throughout this season from Colossians chapter 1. He, and again, this is referring to Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. So the next thing we learn about Jesus as we work our way through this passage one step at a time is that Jesus is the creator. Paul tells us here that Jesus is the creator of all things, the creator of all things both on heaven and things on earth. We're told that he's the creator of that which is visible and that which is invisible. And we're told that he is the creator of thrones and dominions and authorities. Now, this is something that I think for most of us goes against our typical way of thinking. And this is true even of those of us who have been a part of the church for most of our lives, even for those of us who know the Bible very, very well. And it does this because, of course, we tend to think of God the Father as the creator of all things and not Jesus. We all know the creation account very well. And because of this, because we have read the creation account so many times, we tend to read over this description of Jesus without even considering what it says to us or what it means. We've heard the creation account from Genesis 1 ever since we were little children in Sunday school. Those of you with small kids, you'll notice that in every children's Bible that we have on our shelves that we read to our kids each night, the creation story, it's right there at the beginning of those storybooks. We know how in the beginning, God created all things. We remember that as each of the 6 days of creation unfolded, God simply spoke everything into existence. We remember how he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. We remember how he said, "Let the waters be gathered together in one place, and let the dry ground appear." And as he said this, it became so. We remember how he said, "Let the waters swarm with living creatures," and they suddenly came into being. He did this with each piece of his creation until the world as we know it was born. We also remember, of course, how God created man. We remember how God formed the first man from the dust of the earth and how he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. We remember how the Lord then took from the man one of his ribs, and from that rib he fashioned the very first woman. And when we think of this work of creation, we give credit for all of this to God the Father. This is even what we confess in the Apostles' Creed, isn't it? As we confessed that a short time ago. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Even though it's true that God the Father is the maker of heaven and earth, we again don't even consider the fact that Jesus, or the Holy Spirit for that matter, had anything at all to do with it. But in our lesson, what we're seeing throughout this Advent season, Jesus, we are told, was involved in every aspect of creation. Paul tells us in verse 16 that by him, that by Jesus, all things were made. And he's very exhaustive as he tells of Jesus' involvement, as we've already seen. He tells us that nothing was made apart from him. And this is also confirmed for us by another passage of Scripture that we've looked at kind of alongside our Colossians passage, there we go, throughout this season. In John 1, starting in verse 1, we read this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And we've also noted that in verse 14, it's made clear to us that the Word is Jesus, because we are told there that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Now, as we've looked at this passage from John 1 the past couple of weeks, we've noted that Jesus is eternal, that he was with God in the beginning, he was there before everything was made. We've also seen that he was distinct from the Father, but that even though he is a distinct person, he is also at the same time God. But as we also see in this passage, Jesus is the creator of all things. John tells us that all things were made through him. He confirms for us that Jesus was involved in every aspect of creation. He says that without Jesus was not anything made that was made. And we even see that Jesus is the source of life. Now, some might understand this to be a contradiction. They think a contradiction, well, the Bible says that God is the creator, God the Father is the creator, and then it says that Jesus is the creator. And it may seem this way on the surface, but in reality, this is not contradictory in the least. We learn from this that even though God the Father is the creator, so too is the Son. The Father and the Son, along with the Holy Spirit, they work together in everything that they do. Even though they are three distinct persons, together they are one God. And they don't operate independently. They don't operate on their own apart from the others. The other aspect of this that we see in our lesson is that not only is Jesus the creator of all things, he is also the sustainer of all things. In verse 17, we are told that in him, that in Jesus, all things hold together. And this means that everything that was created, it continues to exist only because of him. It means that apart from Jesus, nothing of creation, nothing in all of the universe would continue to be. Now, again, I realize that this is another thing that goes against the way we typically think. We tend to think that everything will simply continue to exist until one day God brings it to an end upon the return of Christ. However, this isn't the case. Jesus created all things, but he also sustains it from day to day. And this, you see, it's an ongoing work that he performs. This is something we saw also in the passage that Les just read for you from Hebrews chapter 1. And this is only a part of it that we're going to look at. But again, in verse 3, we see this. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Now, we already reflected upon the first half of this verse during the first message of the series, but the second half ties right in with what we're talking about here this morning. It tells us that Jesus upholds the universe. This means that he sustains it. It means that he carries it along. It means that he produces it. And he does this, we are told, by the word of his power. Now, I don't know about you, but as I read that phrase, that he sustains it by the word of his power, that brings me back to the creation story all over again in Genesis chapter 1. It reminds me of how God spoke and everything came to be. And in the same way, Jesus upholds everything in the universe. It's by the word of his power that everything continues to exist. And this tells us something very important. It tells us that if he suddenly chose to stop sustaining creation, if he decided to stop upholding it, then what would happen to it? If he decided to stop sustaining everything, it would suddenly cease to be. Apart from him, apart from the word of his power, everything in all of creation would cease to exist. Now, even though most of us, we do believe that God is involved in our world, and even though most of us do believe that God is involved in our lives today, we also seem to think that he designed most things and then he just simply left them to operate all by themselves. We tend to think that once things were made, that's all that was needed. We tend to think that everything exists and God really doesn't have to do anything more with it at this point in time. And whether we realize it or not, we almost tend to hold to a deist understanding of creation. Maybe you don't know what that term means. You may have heard that many of our founding fathers were deists. But what this phrase means is that we tend to think of the universe as a clock that was made by a great clockmaker. And of course, once that clock is made, then it operates on its own. It just continues to run. It continues to tell time. Nothing more needs to be done to it unless, of course, it happens to malfunction. We seem to think that God designed the earth to rotate, giving us both day and night. We tend to think that God designed the earth to revolve around the sun, giving us our seasons and our years. We seem to think that God caused the weather patterns that repeat themselves from year to year. We seem to think that God simply created our heart to beat and our lungs to breathe, and that they will operate this way until he stops it. We seem to think that he created the reproductive system to operate all by itself to bring new life into our world. Once again, we seem to think that he designed all of these things to simply operate on their own, and we think that they will operate as he intends for them to operate unless he intervenes. And we know that, yes, he has intervened at times. This is where the whole concept of miracles comes from, right? Think, for example, of the Israelites in the Old Testament as they fought against the Amorites. Joshua called on the sun to stand still, and it happened. God honored his request, and he caused the sun to stand still for an entire day until Israel defeated their enemies. You also may remember that as the Israelites were about to enter into the Promised Land, God caused the waters of the Jordan, which were actually at flood stage at this point in history, he caused them to be shut off. They piled up for a point so that the Israelites could pass through the river on dry ground. Now, we understand how things typically work, and this is what makes these things miraculous, isn't it? Normally, the sun moves across the sky from east to west over the course of 24 hours. We understand that rivers, they just continue to flow day in and day out, unless, of course, there's a severe drought and things dry up. Things don't happen the way they are described for us in these miracles. Things continue on just as God intended. These things almost seem to run on autopilot, and once again, because of this, we seem to think that they operate without God's constant intervention. But this, we find, is not the case. Yes, it's true that God has designed the world and the universe to work in the way that it does, but this does not mean that he has taken a hands-off approach when it comes to his creation and from their operation. It doesn't mean that these things happen apart from his power or apart from his control. Once again, we find that if Jesus didn't continually enable these things to happen, then everything in creation would fall apart. Apart from his power, apart from the word of his power, everything in creation would cease to exist. And we see examples of this throughout the Bible. We are told, for example, in Matthew 5:45 that it's God who makes the sun to rise, and that it's God who makes the rains to fall. In Psalm 139, we are told that it's God who makes the grass to grow. It's God who covers the heavens with clouds, and that it's God who sends the snow, which you may not have appreciated on your driveway this morning. We see that it's God who makes the winds to blow and the waters to flow. Even these very simple parts of creation, which seem to operate by clockwork all by themselves, even they happen only by his power and only by his authority. Even the reproductive system, right? We are told in Psalm 139 that we were knitted together within the womb of our mother. God has not taken a hands-off approach. He is active in every aspect of creation, even today. When we consider creation, we marvel, don't we, at what a great miracle it is. And rightly so. It's amazing for us to consider how our God brought everything into existence. It's impossible for us to understand how God could simply speak and have everything that we see around us simply come into existence. It's impossible for us to understand how he can simply call everything into being. As we read in Romans 1, as we look at the world around us, it does testify to us of God's existence. It testifies to us of the power of God. But we often fail to realize, as we look at the world around us, that just as creation itself is a miracle of the power of God, so too is each and every moment of each and every day. This too is a miracle. We fail to realize that even these things that operate in the same way every day, month after month, day after day, year after year, they are enabled by Christ. Now, perhaps it seems that I'm splitting hairs. Perhaps it seems that, well, even if what I'm saying is true, I'm making a bigger deal out of it than I need to be making. It may seem that this truth doesn't truly affect our day-to-day life or even our faith. However, the truths that Paul is sharing with us throughout this passage, they are very important. It's essential for us to understand that through Jesus all things were made. It's essential for us to understand that through him all things are sustained from day to day. And it's essential because it tells us that without Jesus, nothing would be here. Nothing would exist. All of creation, and that includes you and me, everything in creation is dependent upon Jesus for its very existence. Without him, we would have never been born. Without him, our lungs wouldn't continue to breathe and our heart wouldn't continue to beat. And without him, there would be no world in which you and I could live. Now, most of us, I think, we realize our dependence upon Jesus when it comes to our salvation. We've heard the gospel many times. And we've come to grips with this truth. We understand the fact that we are a sinful people deserving of judgment. We understand the fact that Jesus came to redeem us from both sin and death. And we've memorized so many of the scripture passages which relate this truth to us. We know, for example, John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We know, and perhaps we have memorized John 11, starting in verse 25, where Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." We know the passage from John 14:6, where Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And we know the words of Peter from Acts 4:12, where he says, "There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So we know and understand that without Jesus, salvation is not possible. We know and understand that without Jesus, eternal life is impossible for us to possess. We know that if Jesus had not come, if he had not given his life on the cross, we would be forever condemned. And we know that if he had not risen from the grave, we would not have the hope of everlasting life. And as true as this is, and as important as this is for us to know and believe, once again, we never seem to consider that the same thing is true when it comes to our day-to-day life here in this world. We never seem to consider that this life was given to us by Jesus and that it's sustained by him. We never seem to consider the fact that without Jesus, none of us would be here, and that the world itself would not exist. And this is true of all of us. It's true of believers and unbelievers alike. No one and nothing would exist apart from him. Even if people fail to recognize it, it's the word of his power that enables their very existence. Now, we may wonder sometimes why he does this. We may wonder why he continues to sustain all things. We may wonder especially why he continues to sustain things in the state that they are today, with all of the evil that surrounds us, with all of the suffering that falls upon us in our world. And we find that he's enabling creation to exist because of his grace and his mercy. Just as his act of salvation is an act of mercy, so too is his power, which sustains us right here and right now. We've heard this before, but we're reminded that according to Scripture, God wants all men to be saved. And he wants all men to come to a knowledge of the truth. God does not want anyone to perish, we are told, but for all to come to repentance. And so we find that for this reason, Jesus sustains everyone in the here and the now, giving us the opportunity to turn to him in faith. Now, we also know that this won't always be the case. We know that one day the end will come. We know that one day Christ will return, and he will return to judge both the living and the dead. We know that when Christ comes, there will be a new heaven and a new earth in which his people will dwell for all eternity, while the evil, while the wicked are cast away to the place of punishment. But the simple fact of the matter is that we are dependent upon Jesus. We are dependent upon Jesus for all things. We are dependent upon him for each and every day. Our life depends upon him now, and it will depend upon him for all eternity. And because of this, we should acknowledge that dependence upon him. We should look to him knowing that he is the reason that we are here, knowing that he is the giver of life. We should submit to him as our Lord and our God, knowing that it's he who upholds the universe, giving him all of the honor and the glory for the fact that he made us, that he sustains us, and that he also has provided for us life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we thank you and we praise you once again for Jesus. We thank you, yes, absolutely, Lord, for the fact that he was born to die. We thank you and praise you for the fact that he came to give his life as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And we thank you for the fact that through faith in him, you have promised us life everlasting, life with you and your glorious kingdom. But we also praise you, Lord, for the fact that we are here, for the fact that Jesus made us, and for the fact that he sustains us here from day to day. We pray your continued blessing upon us, Lord, that you would continue to grant us life here in this world, and Lord, that you would also grant us life in your everlasting kingdom. So we pray this all this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.